Welcome to Blackhawks Insider, the official podcast of the Chicago Blackhawks, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. I'm Carter Baum, and coming up on this week's episode, Adam Burrish and I look at a Blackhawks team that is grinding out points, getting points in 7 of their last 8 outings, big tests against the Carolina Hurricanes and Dallas Stars on the horizon. Patrick Kane continues to climb up the leaderboard in NHL record books, Kevin Lankinen playing hot, and we hear from Philip Kurashev later in the show after a 2-goal, 1-assist performance in his last 2 games. Playing so well, he got promoted to the top line alongside Patrick Kane. All that and more coming up on Blackhawks Insider, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. It's all about the drive.
In hockey, the power play can be a game changer. It's a big opportunity to score. Well, your local Chevy dealer has an opportunity for you to score big. Now, get $5,500 cash allowance on most 2020 Equinox models, plus current Chevy owners get an additional $7,500 cash, all adding up to big savings. Show winner who's boss with switchable all-wheel drive that puts you in charge of winter weather driving. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and take your best shot. Offer valid through January 31st, 2021.
Welcome into Blackhawks Insider. Carter Baum, Adam Burrish with you once again. Burr, it's been a very up and down couple games for the Blackhawks. Some positive moments, some moments where Jeremy Colleton has said they want to see the team better. But the one thing they've been able to do consistently since you and I last spoke just over a week ago, they've been able to pick up points. 7 of the last 8 games, the Blackhawks have been able to get at least a point out of it, getting players in and out of the lineup. What have you seen from this group just overall before we start diving into just a couple key points?
Yeah, just grinding. I've seen them grinding, and they're in games. And, you know, you look back at the first game here against Carolina, and you and I talked before the show, and that was one where they come out flying. You find yourself in a hole. That's an easy game to let it run away from you and lose 5-1 or 5-2 or something. And it's just, hey, we had a bad start, but they hung in there. And you've seen that the last 6 or 7 games for sure, where there's games when they either don't have their best or a team gets a big start, but they hang in there. They find a way to come back. You know, Kaner's a big reason. Some of these young guys, Kurashev's a big reason. You get some young guys that are put into situations that they're not used to. But when you put guys in, though, you know you're going to get a lot of energy from them. You're going to get a lot of effort. And they want to stick in these spots. And they want more ice time. And, you know, Jeremy's dangling that carrot in front of them and either scratching guys or less minutes. And if you want to compete and you want to play the way he wants you to play, you get ice time and you get bumped up the lineup. And these young kids now know that if they have one good game, there's spots available to take, and Jeremy's rewarding them that. And the guys that have gotten rewarded, they get to play with 88. They get to play with DeBrincat. They get to play on the power play, and that's how you get points. And it's a good motivator coaches can use is playing time, and Jeremy's using that. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of fight and a lot of grit out of this team and hanging around in games and just getting it to overtime to get a point. Against Carolina in the first game was a big deal. And that's why I think it's been so far, it's been the message, if you hear Jeremy and the players, it's been positive, and it should be because they're hanging around and they're fighting.
Those young guys are getting those opportunities with a very interesting last week for the roster. And I'm sure Stan Bowman trying to find different players to call up and bring down from the taxi squad, from even from Rockford, some movement. We talked last week when we recorded last week's episode, Alex DeBrincat and Adam Boqvist had just been added to protocol, the COVID protocol. They were joined soon thereafter by Lucas Walmark, Ryan Carpenter, Nicholas Beaudin over the weekend. So a lot of guys who were playing games for the Blackhawks forced to come out of the roster. Some of these young guys step up, including who we'll talk to later in the show, Philip Kurashev getting a promotion to the top line. You've got Matthew Highmore coming back into the lineup, Brandon Hagel getting some additional time, Reese Johnson getting his NHL debut during that stretch. These guys are stepping up, and yes, they're young. You can tell they're young at certain moments on the ice, but by and large, they're taking the opportunity that's given to them and they're running with it. I mean, there's not been one single debut or addition to the lineup that has really stood out as like a, wow, he's a half step behind or he's not ready for this. It seems like anyone who kind of fits in is at least very close to that opportunity and maybe just needs a little more seasoning in their game.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. And it seems obvious and it seems easy, but there's a lot of times in a lot of games I played in where, and I was the guy sometimes where you get thrown into a top six role and with some really good players, and you're not quite there, and you're not ready for that yet. And so far, the guys that Jeremy's inserted into those spots that have earned it, they've done great, and they've produced, and they put up points. And if you're going to play on those top six lines, you got to play the right way, but you got to produce too. I mean, you got to score goals, you got to make plays, you got to have points. That's just a fact. If you're going to be on the power play, you can't turn the puck over. You got to make plays, and you got to make points. And the guys they've thrown in there, they certainly don't look like guys that can't score or don't have some offensive ability or can skate or can make plays. And so that's why it's been fun to see who they kind of throw in these different spots and how are they going to do. And I think for the most part, you could say those guys, they've impressed and they've done well. And they seem to be playing the right way too. And we talked before the year, and or Jeremy did a lot about, we got to play the right way too. And we've got to be responsible, and there's going to be some growing pains, but for the most part, these young guys that have had the chance to step in, they're working for it and they're earning it.
We have seen a pretty linear progression from this team game after game, basically since opening night in Tampa Bay. The opening trip to Florida was obviously a disappointment. We've talked about it. The team has talked about it. But almost since that trip, it's been just progression after progression, game after game. More and more things are starting to come together. And we touched on just the Carolina game on Tuesday night. Here we are. We're recording this episode between the two Carolina games, a 4-3 shootout loss in the first one. And I don't know about you, Burr, but coming into that game, it was a real test for the Blackhawks to see just how far they had come. You had games against Detroit, against Nashville, two teams kind of in flux. Columbus coming in as a pretty good team, but not a true, I think, powerhouse level that you might be able to put Carolina in, a team that's got a 5-1-0 record. They allow the fewest goals against in the league. They had their own bout with COVID. They've played a fewer games than a couple teams, but Carolina's a really good team. It was going to be a good test in these two games. And then you turn around and face Dallas over the weekend and into next week, another team who is at the top of the division and just scoring goals at will at this point. I mean, these are two big tests for the Blackhawks. And at least in the first game, you mentioned it, you're a little slow to start, but you fight back in, you get a point, and that's got to be an encouraging sign as a big test for this roster.
Yeah, you start the season with Tampa, who's a team that, again, could – anybody would probably throw their name in the hat as a team that could win the Stanley Cup again next year. You get beat twice pretty good by them. You fast forward, is it a month now? And you're playing a Carolina team that I think a lot of people too could say, hey, that's a team that could win a Stanley Cup too. They were right there last year. They were in the mix last year. So how are you going to stack up? And they take them to overtime, and you come out and, I think if the players had said we started slow, we were kind of watching and we wanted to feel our way into a game. And against good teams, you can't tiptoe into a game. You got to go in 100 miles an hour, and they didn't. And then all of a sudden you're down 2-0. Now against a really good team, it's tough to come back, but they did, and they got it to overtime. And, so you hope the next game, you see if you can drag this thing on like that a little longer. You start on time. Don't put yourself in a hole early. Then you get yourself down to that third period, and if you can keep that game tied going to the third period or up a goal, now you give your star players a chance. Maybe you get a power play. The power play has been good. Then you find a way to squeak one out, and that's what young teams, that's what teams that are trying to grow do, and then they're able to get over that hump. And I think you saw that a little bit in the first game too, that they hung in there. They kind of got punched in the face early. They woke up and they grinded back into it. But tomorrow night will be a really good test again for them. And then you fast forward and you go right into Dallas, which is another top team that went to the finals last year and probably could do the same again this year. So some good tests ahead.
The more some things change, talking about the young guys and the new additions to this lineup, the more some things stay the same. Patrick Kane continues to lead the team in goals, tied for the lead in assists, leads in points, has 4 points in the last three games. And on Tuesday night, he continues to move up basically every record book known to man that the NHL keeps, but tied Doug Weight for the sixth most points by an American-born player with 1,033 on Tuesday night. He's six goals away from his 400th. He'd be the fourth in franchise history and just the 100th NHLer all time to reach that milestone when he gets there. And oh yeah, he's 16 games away from that silver stick and his 1,000th game. I mean, we talk about Patrick Kane all the time, but as much of these young guys come in, he seems to be the glue that keeps them together. We talked to Philip Kurashev a little later on about what it's like to play with Patrick Kane. And he said, you know, just go out there and have fun. That was his advice from Patrick Kane, you know, a future Hall of Famer playing with a guy who's played in, I think, three or four NHL games at that point. He's kind of the catalyst for a lot of these guys, just with how consistent he is night in and night out.
Yeah, he's getting better still. And I think a good sign of that is when you throw him in there with a young kid or a kid that's only been in the league for 10 games, you know, how does that kid do? And a lot of that sometimes is a reflection on the guys he's playing with. And so far, anybody Jeremy's threw on a wing with them, they've scored that night, and some of them have scored multiple times that night. And that's a reflection on your line mates. And sometimes you see guys, you know, as they get into their 30s, well, now maybe the younger guy's carrying them along, and that's certainly not the case still with Patrick Kane. He's carrying everybody else along with him. Whoever you throw on a line with him, he makes them look good. He makes them look comfortable. He makes them fit in. He makes them feel comfortable. Oh, and he puts pucks on their tape back door for some pretty easy goals for these guys. So yeah, he just keeps getting better and better. And these young kids, when you talk to them too, and when, you know, we talked to Philip here today, you can sense that they all feel so lucky and privileged when they show up at the rink and Jeremy says, oh yeah, by the way, you're playing with 88 today. And pretty cool feeling for these young guys.
We would be remiss if we also didn't touch on Burr, what I think last season we dubbed the Blackhawks Insider Boost. Yep. We had one Kevin Lankinen on the show last week. He had a couple games under his belt, a couple wins, was playing really well. Maybe we gave him a half boost. We didn't give him a full boost because he was kind of already on his way there. But boy, we talked about the Blackhawks getting points in 7 of 8 of their last 8 games. It's no coincidence that Kevin Lankinen has started 7 of the last 8 games. He's allowed 2 or less goals in 6 straight starts. He's first in the league among goalies with 5 or more starts and save percentage with 93.5%, 2.09 goals against average. Third in the league among goalies with 5 or more starts. A season high 38 saves on Tuesday, lauded by his teammates and by Jeremy Colliton afterwards for really keeping him in that game, especially in the third period, helping them get at least 2 overtime to get that point. Kevin Lankinen, through the opening 3-4 weeks of the season, is by all means the real deal in net. And you can see why Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colliton wanted to get this guy a look this season. And it wasn't just about Colin Delia and Malcolm Subban coming into the year.
Schedule an appointment with our podcast and you'll light it up.
You put
That's
out a
kind of what you're telling me, I guess.
You put out a call to Jeremy Colliton, right? Of, hey, whoever you want going next week, let us know. We'll help you out.
We'll put him on the podcast, Jeremy. And if you want to get him going, just let us know and we'll find time for him. We'll get him in there and you know, you're going to have a good week out of them. But yeah, it's been cool. Kevin, you know, Lankinen's been great. And you could, I don't think at the start of the season, you would have thought, we're not scoring enough goals to win games. It would have been, geez, we're probably giving up a few too many to win hockey games. And I mean, if you got a goaltender with a 2.09 save percentage or something under 3 in today's NHL, you're going to win the majority of your games. You got to score 3 goals in the league now to win hockey games. So when you got a goaltender that's, you know, allowing 2 every night, you should win a lot of hockey games. And I think if he keeps playing like that, I think this team will start winning some games. I think the power play has been good enough to get 1 a night. And if they can get 1 a night, and then, you know, you got 88 that can score every night and one other guy chip one in and hang around. And I think that's why this team is surprised, you know, surprised a little bit everybody that they're hanging around as much as they are. And they're finding ways to be around late in games and drag them into overtime. Now, they haven't won an overtime game yet, but just getting there and getting points can give a young team confidence. It's been fun to watch. And we said from the start, one of these goaltenders of the 3 that they have is going to need to say, hey, I want to be the guy. I want to take it. And right now, that's Kevin.
We should say Malcolm Subban also had a very strong performance in the one game that he got in Nashville. So it's not like the other two have been
he was really good.
Have been bad. It's just Kevin Lankinen is going above and beyond. And you have to continue to ride the hot hand in goal. And it's very interesting to hear, especially some of the veterans over the last week or two, as they talk about Kevin Lankinen. And I think Duncan Keith said he's just got a like quiet confidence behind him in goal there. I mean, how much does that help you as a skater on the ice to know that you can maybe make that risk every now and then, knowing that you've got a guy behind you who, if you make a mistake, more often than not can bail you out? I mean, what confidence does that give you out there as a skater?
Yeah, I think it's any, I mean, goaltenders, they're playing a different sport almost, you feel like sometimes, but just confidence amongst any teammate. When you got a teammate that just kind of exudes confidence, and you can look around the room and you can see guys that may be a little nervous or maybe a little timid, but those guys that just kind of project confidence makes you feel confident too. And you think, but I mean, I'm sure you look in that locker room, you look at Duncan Keith before a game and you just know like, all right, that guy's ready. Like, no problem. He's got my back. And goaltenders, you can look at them sometimes and you can tell this guy's a little nervous, and you can tell a guy on the other team too. You can look at a goaltender and see when his confidence is a little shaken, or a defenseman that's just trying to survive and not make a turnover, and he throws a lot of pucks away, and guys will attack those guys, and guys will put a little extra pressure on those guys knowing you may get a turnover. And you know, and obviously with Kevin, what Duncan said is you recognize those things as a teammate and as a guy in the locker room, and you can tell when a goaltender's fighting it or when he's not real confident, just like he can with a player. And the more guys you have in a room that just say, hey, give me the puck, I'll be ready. Or, you know, when you think about, you know, Kane's a guy like that. Jonathan Toews has always been a guy like that. Brent Seabrook was always a guy like that. And Alex DeBrincat's a guy like that. Give me the puck. You know, put it on my tape and I'll bury it. The more guys you have like that, it makes everybody else confident, and it kind of trickles around the locker room.
Well, we'll get to our guest here in just a moment, but I do want to set up this interview by touching on Filip Kurashev and just kind of the incredible week he's had. You touched on it. He gets promoted to the top line with Patrick Kane with some of these absences. And he takes that ball and he runs with it. He's got 2 goals and an assist in his last 2 outings since that happened. He's been a very consistent threat no matter where he's playing in the lineup, on the wing, lower in the lineup. He's playing with Kane and Matthias Janmark right now. He's getting power play time. He's being moved to his natural center role after kind of being eased in on the wing. He's someone who Jeremy Colliton said, I think last week, look, he didn't expect him to really be a role on this team this season. He kind of got the opportunity. He impressed in training camp coming off of, you know, starting the season a little early over in Switzerland. And he's just made it impossible to take out of the lineup, continues to get better and better. And another bright spot of many bright spots for some of these young guys on the Blackhawks roster.
Yeah, if you get an opportunity, be ready. And so far, these young kids that have gotten a chance have produced. They've put up points and they've been ready. And he's another example of that. And a guy that spent some time in Rockford and you know, paid his dues, I guess you will, for a bit. And he's jumped in and he got a nice promotion from Jeremy. Jeremy saw that he had earned it. He had a couple good games in a row and said, here you go. Let's see what you can do now. And you're going to get a great opportunity. And he took it and he ran with it. And he's had a couple great games. And the more you keep doing that, you're going to keep getting more chances. Power play time too. Throws him on the power play. So good for Filip and good for this team. More young guys that can get that seasoning, that experience, and that confidence. They're going to start doing some really good things.
Well, we'll send it over now to Filip Kurashev.
He makes a lot of plays, and I thought tonight his patience and confidence with the puck really helped that line, and they had a few more chances. He's a young guy, so it's not going to be – he's there now, and it might last a few games, and, we'll let it run. But it's going to be up and down with guys, and we're just going to try and help them through it. And I think we got a bunch of competition. We got a bunch of young players who are pushing for ice, and that's a great thing.
Joined now by Filip Kurashev, who has had quite the week. Filip, first off, thank you for joining us on Blackhawks Insider. Welcome to the show. How are things going today? A practice day at Fifth Third Arena, a day between games here. How are you feeling after a brief on ice practice?
It was good. We had a short practice just to, you know, get going, get move your legs a little bit, and prepare for tomorrow's game.
What's the schedule like? I mean, you guys are playing almost every other day. The practices are tough. I know you can't go full out for hour and a half. You have to kind of watch the toll on your body. I mean, how much is that coming into play through this opening almost month of the season by now?
I love it. I think it's great. We play like every 2 days almost. And so you basically just in practice, you just go and keep it short, do some flow drills or something, or do some line stuff, and then you just play. So I think everyone likes to play games more. I think it's been great. Obviously, it's a little bit harder, but I like it.
Carter, I've been telling you, how the season's going to go. Players love playing games. We hate practicing every day. So 3 or 4 days of practice is no good. But when you came over here, Philip, you joined the Blackhawks. You're a new guy here. What did you expect? What did you expect out of yourself coming in? Obviously, the last couple of games, you've absolutely lit it up. It seems to be a guy that enjoys scoring. You want to put up points. But what was your expectation of yourself coming in here? What did you want to do for this team?
Well, for sure, my goal was to make the team first. And then after that, you know, help as much as I can. Doesn't matter, like, what role or who I play with or whatever. I just wanted to come and do my best, you know, help the team get the wins. And, obviously, I like to be offensive player. And, so far, it's been going pretty good.
You had a little jump start on the season. You got some games under your belt over in Switzerland before the NHL season started, playing in the fall. You played, I believe, 13 games with HC Lugano in your native country, 9 assists, a fantastic start for you over there. How much did that help just get the legs going, get your confidence up, and kind of help you find your rhythm before coming into training camp?
Oh, it helped a lot, especially like from last season when it got like canceled. And then, like with all the bubble and stuff, I didn't play there. And like, it was like a long time between games. And I think those 13 games helped me a lot. And like, I was able to play with some really good players and good coaching staff. And they played me a lot. So, I think for sure I had some momentum going, and I brought it here. Obviously, we had some breaks with the quarantines and stuff, but I think it still helped me. So yeah, I'm just trying to keep it keep the momentum going.
Burr, I'm gonna go off the wall here for just a second. Philip, you are born and raised in Switzerland. I'm just gonna ask a question and then I'll explain afterwards to everyone else kind of listening maybe a little bit of why. But how many languages do you know how to speak fluently or relatively fluently? I mean, I know English obviously is one, but how many do you know or are you comfortable speaking in?
Yeah, like obviously English, Russian, and German, like Swiss German more. And then French, I understand it. Speaking is a little bit hard still for me, but like when I was playing in Quebec and like I understand the guys when they were talking, I just... I'm still not really comfortable like speaking myself. Those are like the four languages.
Switzerland's a very interesting country, Burr, because it's like right between Italy, Germany, France, like all these different languages kind of meld in Switzerland. And I think a lot of people that live in Switzerland for a long time, like you do, Philip, know how to speak several of them, or at least are know parts of them. And that's always been one thing that's incredibly interesting to me is anytime someone from Switzerland I get to talk to, I like to ask them kind of which different ones they like. And as you said, like a Swiss German, almost a hybrid dialect there between the two.
Yeah, no, for sure. Everyone has to learn different language in school too. It's not just like if you're in the French part, it's not just French. You always have to do either German or Italian or something like this. So, and then English, of course, you have to know too. So, yeah, almost all people in Switzerland know more than one language.
Well, then
sure.
The guys in the locker room, they all got to be careful around him, Carter, because they can speak French and he understands them. They can't say anything bad about Philip because he can listen and he knows what. You know, I remember I sit in the locker room, the French guys would speak and the Russian guys would speak. And the Finnish, I had no idea. He knows what they're saying. They can't trash talk him behind his back. Let's fast forward to now. Yeah, let's fast forward now, Philip. All of a sudden, you show up to the rink a couple days ago, and Coach Colleton says, "Hey, you're playing with Patrick Kane tonight." What was that like? I taught Patrick Kane a lot of what he knows. I assisted on his first 30-goal season behind the back door look pass.
He'll tell you that himself,
too. Yep. But what was that like for you? Show up at the rink, and all of a sudden, you see your number next to him at the board, or what, did Jeremy say anything to you?
Jeremy texted me the day before and say, be prepared to like play center. But I didn't know obviously who with, but I come to the rink and I see it on the board, and I was really happy, yeah. Of course, to play with such a great player. And I couldn't wait to get the game going, you know, to have a chance to play with him. It was great.
Does he say anything to you before the game? Does, you know, just, "Hey, get open, kid. I'll get you the puck," and you know it's going to be there? Or did you have any – did he say anything? What did you guys talk about before the game?
No, I think it was just like, you know, have fun and like, let's make some plays, like play offensive, and that's basically it. Just, have fun, I guess.
You touched on Jeremy texting you and saying you're going to play center. You're a natural center. That's kind of the position you love to play. Getting eased into the lineup, though, this year, playing a little bit on the wing and some of the depth lines, how much did that help you not only get adjusted to the league before being tossed the two-way responsibility of that center role? And, you know, how difficult was that maybe to also adjust to an unnatural position or one that you're not used to playing on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think maybe it did help, yes, that I didn't start as center. I don't know, but for sure at the start it was a little bit weird because I didn't play wing. The last time I played wing, I was like 14 or 15. So, the first couple times was a little bit weird. But, that's what I mean. Like, I got kind of more used to the league. I mean, it was only a couple games, but still... maybe it was good that I started on the wing, and so now I'm more comfortable and now I can start playing center. So it was good for sure.
What's been the biggest difference for you coming over from Switzerland to the NHL? Is one easier? Is one harder? What's been the biggest difference for you?
It's completely different. There it's obviously the big ice too. You have a lot more space and like kind of different style of play. I think it's more like maybe tactic and stuff. So that was the biggest thing here. It's everything. It's so fast. You just have to make your decision way more quick and like think ahead. That's the biggest thing, just the speed of the game, I think.
How much did your year last year in Rockford help you? I know Derek King raved about you at the end of the season, said you're probably the most improved player from start to finish. You started your first 16 pro games. I think you had 6 points in those first 16 games, but then you really started to find your stride. I think you had 11 points over your next 12 games before you got injured, and that kind of derailed your season. You came back just before things got paused, but how much did that experience really help you kind of grow and get comfortable at the pro level and with the North American game even more?
Yeah, I think it helped for sure. Obviously, this injury kind of was tough. I missed 2 months. Before that, I had a little bit struggle at the start, but then I got it rolling. And theirs too, it's great staff too. They helped me a lot with video too and stuff like that. So, and it's a good league too. It's hard to play there. There's a great speed there too. So it was helpful.
And then you come in and now you got power play time too. You're playing on one of the power play units. How has that gone? I mean, power play for this team so far this year has seemed like something that's kept you alive, kept you in games. Did you guys work on power play today, or what have you seen from the power play since you've been on it while you guys have had a little bit of success?
Yeah, well, we have some really good players too on the power play there on the first one. Well, on the both ones, but I think this in the NHL, I think the special teams are usually what makes the difference in the games, and yeah, we work on it a lot in practice, and hopefully we can like keep it going like that. I think it's helping us to staying in games and winning. So
you're not the only Swiss rookie making impressions this year. You have Pius Suter also on the lineup with you. I was trying to do some research before the show, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you guys briefly overlap playing over in Switzerland a few years ago as well on a team? It looks like he only got a couple of games on, GCK Lions that you were playing for, the U20s?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. We played a couple of games together because he was playing already pro and I was still juniors. And I think they got out of playoffs or something. And then the young guys who are still able to play juniors came. And we played like a couple of games in the playoffs together. And we were actually in the same school that year, not same class, but sometimes we were same room in the school too. So it's kind of funny how now we're on the same team again here.
How comfortable does that make it to have someone like that, that you have a history with?
Oh yeah, it's great for sure. It makes us really comfortable too. I can speak, Swiss German with him, and on the roads and stuff, we can hang out and talk to each other. So I'm enjoying it a lot.
Burr, I think they talk about the other players too in Swiss German, right?
Yeah, he can talk trash about everybody else. Nobody knows.
No, we don't do that.
Well, what do you like to do away from the rink? What have you been doing, when you leave the rink today? Are you a video game guy? Do you read books? Do you watch hockey games? What kind of stuff are you into away from the rink?
I like to watch all sports. I think I really like watch hockey. I watch like almost every day, and some basketball too when it's going. And my PlayStation is broken, so I can't play right now. But what else I do? I just call my family on the phone and my friends from back home. So that's kind of all what I do.
Yeah, watches hockey every day, but just like a line mate of his on his wing there, Patrick Kane. They have a lot in common already. Yep. Right off the top. I'm gonna go back to the Swiss connection real quick. I want to toss a name out there. Reto von Arx. He was an assistant coach of yours on the national team level. Am I correct?
Yes.
What do you know? A little trivia question for you. Do you know what you two have in common, along with Pius Suter, as the only three to do something? The three of you all together share one thing in common.
Score a goal.
Score a goal. That too, you share that. No, you're the only three Swiss players in Blackhawks history, the three of you. So he was your assistant coach at the national team level, the two of you now this year, Pius and yourself, a ninth round pick in 2000. I just wanted to toss that out there. But a little Swiss history for the Blackhawks, all crossing paths there. And now you and Pius lead the NHL rookies in goal scoring. What's it been like, you two going back and forth and both finding your own success over the last couple games, last couple weeks?
Last couple games I got some really nice passes too. I just had to put it in the net. So that's kind of how mine went. And him too, I think he had a great game where he scored the hat trick. We're having fun. I think we're enjoying playing for the Chicago Blackhawks, and yeah, we're just enjoying every day here.
As we wrap up here, going into the game tomorrow again against Carolina, what was the talk today? I'm sure you guys had a little bit of video, quick practice, but what needs to get done tomorrow to get a better result?
I think we have to be more ready at the start. I think at the start they were flying out there. Obviously, we expected them to be a really fast team and strong and all of this, but I think our start wasn't where it should be. So I think tomorrow the main goal, I think, is to start the game strong, kind of like match their speed or whatever you say, and try to get more going in the first half of the game for sure.
Well, Philip, a strong couple games for you. We hope you can keep that going, and we want to thank you for joining us. It's been great getting to know you just a little bit, talk to you and hope that you can continue your success and keep playing with Patrick Kane on that top line and scoring some points and getting some results for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, thank you very much. I try my best.
Yeah, thanks. So keep sniping.
I will try.
Well, thank you, Philip. That'll do it for this week's episode. For Adam Burrish, I'm Carter Baum. Special thanks to Philip Kurashev for giving us some time today. But besides that, Blackhawks Hurricanes Thursday night, 7 o'clock from the United Center. We'll see you next time on Blackhawks Insider, presented by Chevy Drive Chicago. Drive what Kane and Taves drive.